This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. But Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
I want this Christmas to talk about image and about reality and about our search for satisfaction, about the distance between the facades that we wear and the joy that we seek, and about God with us, the truest reality that satisfies our deepest desires. Nothing highlights that tension between image and reality more than celebrity traitors. I'm sure lots of you, like me, were watching it, where a select few have to cultivate that faithful image and deceive their friends about their treacherous reality. And there was a climactic moment when Alan Carr, traitor supreme, who'd been giggling as he murdered people throughout the show, broke down crying, "It's tearing me apart." The heavy burden of lying to everyone, of cultivating an image so different from the reality. One of the contenders for Word of the Year in 2025 was aura farming, which is defined as the cultivation of an impressive, attractive, or charismatic persona or public image by behaving or presenting oneself in a way intended subtly to convey an air of confidence, coolness, or mystique. Our very language now reflecting the way that so often the images that we perceive are not the reality. On the world stage, 2025 began with a new US president who has a leadership style that is heavy on image. Gold letters and big crowds, simple slogans and total confidence. But inevitably, the reality is messier and more fragile. Whether the brash imposition of tariffs that threw the world economy into chaos back in April, then undermined by the legal process as the court challenges came in, or the rhetoric of Trump's claims about world peace delivered now compared to the ongoing realities in Ukraine and Gaza. Too often on the world stage, we see claims of glory, but the image is not always the reality. We see the same tensions at the level of our own hearts in Taylor Swift's new album, Life of a Showgirl. After the globe-shaking success of the Eras tour at the top of her game, you'd think this might be a moment of satisfaction, of peace, of lasting joy. But that's not what the album is about at all. I don't know if you've heard it. The songs expose the dissonance between a superstar's public-facing life and her internal reality, simultaneous career peaks in the Eras tour and personal emotional turmoil. She sings of pain hidden by the lipstick and lace, the image of glamour and perfection, hiding the inner realities of grief and the seemingly impossible challenge of finding true joy and lasting satisfaction. Another at the top of his game this year is Scottie Scheffler. He's been ranked the golf world number one for 3 years now, the longest ever. But the media was shocked by an interview with Scottie a few months ago where he spoke about the dissonance between the glamour of winning and true satisfaction. And he said, as golf number one, golf is not what satisfies me. It's fulfilling from the sense of accomplishment, but it's not fulfilling from a sense of the deepest places of your heart. And sometimes I just don't understand the point. And for Scottie, it's his walk with Jesus that gives him the mental resilience, the inner peace, the ability to handle the immense pressure and what he calls the endlessly not satisfying career of professional golf. There's some of us who could probably describe very amateur golf as endlessly not satisfying as well. But we'll all have experienced that hollow feeling of chasing things which are endlessly not satisfying. There's always another hill over the horizon. You gain one goal, you find you need another. As Jenny sings in The Greatest Showman, it will never be enough. Never. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. Never, never, never enough for me. But we live in an age, don't we, where image often comes first. Trump didn't invent that, he just exaggerates it. But we project images of strength to the world while hiding our weakness. We chase images of success that never fully satisfy. All image, but no substance. And at Christmas, we find the opposite. The story of one who is reality incarnate, not image without substance, but substance without image. Glory that far eclipses the glamour of the stage. At Christmas, there's no polish, no platform, no spin. This time, no ego, no aura farming, no successful facade covering up a broken reality. Just a baby, born in a manger, amid the muck of life. An appearance is deceiving, an everyday event. No glamour, just glory. At Christmas, we celebrate that Jesus is God with us, as Chidi just read. The Hebrew word for that is Emmanuel, a statement that in Jesus, God has come close. That the God who spoke galaxies into being chose to step into our world in humility and vulnerability. In Jesus, God does not wait for humanity to reach up to him. Instead, he descends into our story, takes on flesh to dwell among us. And to be God with us is the whole reason that Jesus came. He came from heaven to earth to reach out to us, born not in a palace, but in a normal village, in a home in the middle of everyday life, a normal baby born to normal everyday parents in a manger. Amid the muck and the smells and the noise of real life. God with us in the mess. God come down to be with us so that we might be with him forever. God with us means that Jesus is here tonight for us as a transforming presence right in the middle of the storms of life. Not God above us, distant. Not God against us, condemning. But God with us, present, compassionate, involved, the most glorious of all realities, hidden in humility behind the most unassuming of packaging. This is the opposite of an empty image. Here is the truest reality that satisfies our deepest desires, the offer of God himself, Emmanuel, his presence, his love, his peace, true satisfaction, eternal joy. The Christmas message invites each of us to a transforming encounter with the love of God, right in the middle of the challenges of our lives. No matter what struggles you are facing, no matter the story that you bring with you this evening, God wants to break into your reality, to restore you to relationship with him, so that you can walk through life hand in hand with your Creator. For that is why Jesus came. And he came knowing what it would cost to bring us back to him. Came as a baby born to die. For Jesus was no ordinary baby, but God himself in human form. And he came to live the perfect life that none of us could live, and to die the death we all deserved to die, to absorb in himself the consequences of all the wrong humanity has ever done, to pay the price we could not pay, and open the door to relationship with God again. Tonight we are loved. You are accepted. You are welcomed in, not because we deserve it, but because God loves us anyway. This is a gift that we all need this Christmas. We all of us manage impressions. We cultivate the facade. We all hide bits of ourselves. We all know the gap between who we appear to be and who we actually are. We share the smiling photo from the family holiday, not the tears and arguments 5 minutes before. The good news of Christmas isn't that God accepts our image. That would just be exhausting. It's that God enters our reality with the one thing that alone can satisfy our deepest desires, himself. Eras didn't satisfy Taylor. Golf doesn't satisfy Scotty Scheffler. Nothing else will satisfy you or me. Not the job, nor the relationship, not the financial security, nor the carefully cultivated image. They will never be enough. For God made us for himself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in him. Jesus, not an image that doesn't deliver, but the reality who truly satisfies. Another theme of this year has been the surprising resurgence of belief in God, the start possibly of a reversal of decades of increasing secularization, and a return to God led by Gen Z, the youngest adult generation, raised by the most secular generation in world history, but finding that without God, we have become more anxious, more alone, and less happy than ever. And the spate of high-profile conversions has only continued to grow in number and pace alongside those who don't yet believe but wish that they could. Bible sales are up 87% in the last 5 years, driven by new buyers, mainly among Gen Z, who are now half as likely to be atheists as their parents. We've seen a resurgence of faith in Silicon Valley. We've seen the music industry in the US swinging towards faith, from Alex Warren and Justin Bieber to Benson Boone and Forrest Frank. And in Lamorna Ash's bestseller, Don't Forget We're Here Forever, published this year, she documents her own conversion, which is encapsulated in the line, "I believe that the God of the religion, which is my heritage, might have come down to earth as a man 2,000 years ago to walk alongside us and help us with our terrible pain, because I can't think of a more beautiful story for how a God might behave. Can't think of a more beautiful story for how a God might behave. This is the beauty of Jesus, our Emmanuel, who is God with us. He walks alongside us through the ups and the downs. It's his beauty that exposes the emptiness of worldly glamour. It's his glory that is the truest reality that satisfies our deepest desires. He offers us meaning and life that suffering can't take away, but only deepen. Satisfaction that is not based on circumstances. Freedom that doesn't reduce relationships to transactions. An identity that isn't fragile or based on performance. He offers us a way to deal with guilt and shame and to forgive others without bitterness. He offers us an explanation for the sense of the transcendent beauty and love we so often experience. He offers us a way to face not only the future, but even death with poise and peace. Jesus is not another image that cannot deliver. He is the only reality that can truly satisfy. So can I ask you this Christmas, what will you do with him, this God with us? He has come close. born as one of us to bring you home. He knocks on the door of your heart. Will you open it and let him in? Too often we go through life holding God at a distance. We try and do it our way. We believe he's there, but we keep him at arm's length. And in his humility, he allows us to do that, to turn our backs on him, if so we choose. But when we go our own way, we find ourselves lost, far from God, and lacking true satisfaction. But when we accept his invitation, when we open the doors of our heart, open our lives to him, he promises to come in and be forever God with us, to love us unconditionally, to fill us with his presence and peace, to raise us from death to life, and lead us by the hand to be with him forever. As the carol goes, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. I wonder, will you enter this truest reality this Christmas season and find in him the joy you were intended for since before the world began? In a moment, I'm going to pray and invite those who wish to do so to respond to that invitation along with me. If you'd like to know more about any of this, whether you consider yourself a Christian or this is your first time in church in your life, I'd love to invite you to join us next term at our Alpha course. There are invitations on your seats. And Alpha's just a space to explore the deep questions of life over dinner. It would be great to have that conversation with you if this raises questions after the service or there. But I'm going to pray now a simple prayer that just has three parts. I'm going to pray, thank you, sorry, and please. Thank you, God, for his love for us. Sorry for the way that I, like all of us, go astray and try and live life my own way. Please, and ask him to come into my life, to be at the center. If you'd like to respond to Jesus' invitation, our God with us this Christmas, then why not echo these words in your own heart as we pray together? Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me so much. I am sorry for the way I've tried to live without you. Please forgive me. Please come into my life and help me to live with you at the center. Amen. This Christmas, we celebrate that Jesus is our God with us. He has come close. He has come to earth to bring us home so that we might be with him forever. Let's stand as we sing our final carol.